I'd like to start with the scripture in Haggai. First chapter, fourth verse, says, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and ye bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor, all the labor of your hands." This was where people had decided to put themselves first. So the Lord says to them, consider your ways. And I think that that is a very good statement to bring to our attention, that we consider our ways, because it's really foolish to look at something and it not work and go on doing it if it don't work. That's not a good way to accomplish things. If you are a farmer and you year after year pay your money for seed and fertilizer, and year after year you don't get any crop out of it, it'd be wise for you to consider what you're doing. It'd be foolish to go on and bankrupt yourself and never get anything out of it. I think of the sports world. I don't know if you know, I know a little bit about the sports world. The sports world, sports is real big in the country these days, and so they want to get a good coach. So teams will go and they'll hire them a good coach, or what they're hoping's a good coach, and he comes in and he'll change everything about the situation, and he's got ideas how to accomplish how to win. It's about winning. And so he'll put all of his efforts and energies into it, and usually the first year, folks are real acceptable of the failures that happens if he's building things up, and they'll go on. If he don't win, well, that's a normal thing to happen. In the second year, if he don't win, well, people get to grumbling a little bit, and if he's there 3 or 4 years and he's still losing, they start saying, let's consider our ways. Now, he's had time to look and see if what he's doing is working. And if it's not working, let's change something. Something needs to be changed. So the Lord says, consider your ways. Are you being successful? Is it working for you in your life? That's my thought this morning. The Lord help it to be able to get into our hearts and minds today. Salvation works. It works. But it don't work for everyone. But it's not God's fault. Salvation, the plan of salvation, the gospel plan, absolutely works. But I don't always see it working. So it's a good idea, and the Lord here gives some illustrations for you and I to consider that there is reasons that it don't work at times. What these people did, they saw that the God's house was needing to be built, but they went and built their own houses first. In other words, they put their own desires, their own comforts ahead of the things of God. That's not a good way to be successful in the Lord. That is actually a recipe for failure. And if you'll read through the New Testament, well, actually all through the Bible, you'll find that there is one thing that makes it work all the way through. Right from the beginning. The thing that made it work was when Abel came and made an offering unto the Lord, and Cain made an offering unto the Lord. Abel's offering was acceptable, Cain's wasn't. And if you look at it, Abel came and there were some adjectives with it. He brought an offering, and he brought the first, and he brought the fat thereof. He brought the very best he had. He gave all to it. When it said Cain brought an offering, it said he brought of the fruit of the ground. Didn't put anything special about it. He just brought an offering. And there's a lot to be said about it, but the real part of it is that if you want to be successful for the Lord, there is a giving of all. Consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough to eat. You drink, just barely getting by, still enough to call myself religious. I'm religious. I still go to service. I do those things. But I want to ask you today, do you have victory in your life? Consider your ways. Is salvation really working? Because it's not to degrade anybody, but I'm going to tell you, if it's not working, consider your ways. If it isn't really working to the fullness, there's no reason to be saved 40 years and still have the kind of attitudes that people can have. There's no reason for it. There is something that will work about salvation that changes those kind of things. Help us, Lord, to consider our ways about this. Now, I was thinking about just a week ago, yesterday, a very precious saint in our congregation passed away. Brother Jim White. He was 87 years old. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. Brother Jim was raised in a little old logging town. They called it Deer Creek. The bigger town that the mill and all the sawmill was at was called Cass, but he lived a little ways from that in a little community called Deer Creek. He was raised there. Deer Creek was kind of what was considered the outside of Cass. Cass was kind of the main thing, and if you was of a certain standing, you could live up in Cass, but it was kind of a lower life place to live down in Deer Creek. He was raised in Deer Creek. He went to about sixth or eighth grade, something like that. He was raised very poor and very hard. He come up, born in 22, he come up through the Depression era and come up through that time. As a young man, he ended up going into the CC camps and worked at those. And then World War II broke out. He was drafted, went into the Army, and volunteered to be a paratrooper. And he was in the 101st Airborne. And Brother Jim went to Europe. He fought in one of the first waves of airplanes to go to Normandy. And he jumped out over there, over Normandy. Lived through that. He later, in September, jumped in Holland, which was a big battle there. And later that year, in December of 44, he was in what's called the Battle of the Bulge. And he was at Bastogne, if you know any of the history, but he was at Bastogne there, surrounded by the Germans for a number of days until Patton came and got him. And he come home from that, and I knew him later in life, but Brother Jim come out of that. He had got married just before he went into the war, and he had a child before he left. He ended up having a couple more when he got back. Brother Jim was a man that loved to tell of his life. And he told of his war stories, and Brother Jim made a lot of friends in his life, and he told the wars. He was a war hero to me. He was a man that gave what he could to fight for his country. But Brother Jim told us many times, he said, if I could have done it, he said, I wish that I had never saw that war. The war done something to him. And he told us many times, that war done something to me as a man. Do you imagine to go into a place like that and see the kind of destruction death all around. War all around. And had to, he said, you got to a point that you could lay down and sleep right beside a dead body, not bother you a bit. You had no choice. If you was going to sleep, you'd sleep by a dead body at time to time. And you got till you couldn't hardly really put your heart to a friend, because in moments he could be completely blew up. So you hardened yourself his life by bringing back something he didn't know the Lord. The best in loving God, I can have the feelings or I can have the desire, but if I don't know God, I don't know what he requires or expects, I hardly know how to do it. How do you love God? How do you love him? How do you give him of yourself if you don't, if you're not willing to really learn and know what God is and what he to survive? Brother Jim hardened himself. He hardened himself for the existence that he had. He had to exist. You couldn't emotionally go through it without just hardening yourself. And Brother Jim hardened himself against it. And he told us that he come home after that. And he come home to a wife that he hadn't seen in 3 years. He come home to a little girl that he hadn't seen in 3 years. And he told us different times that he come home and he said they could have been anyone. It didn't matter to him. He come home and he had a hug for him and all that, but he said it was all exterior. He said he could look on his little girl without any emotions at all. He could look on his wife without any pity at all. He come home and the best thing, and I can understand it totally, the thing that he got the most joy out of was go over to the bar and sit with the men over there, because there was a certain amount of dependency, camaraderie they call it, in war and time that men embrace themselves together right here. And Brother Jim wasn't satisfied to just have a religious experience, just religion, but he wanted salvation. He wanted something that was going to change his life more than just saying, I'm religious. He wanted something in his life. And I want to tell you, by the time I met him in the 80s, by the time I met him, I could hardly believe that he was the man that he claimed he was. I used to think he exaggerated. Because he would tell about how cruel he was. He wasn't a cruel man, folks. He was a very loving man. But Brother Jim allowed God to do something with his life, and he talked many times about God's ability to change a man. God can change. He was a man that considered his ways. He was a man that allowed salvation to work in his life. And I used to say, surely if God could take something that was done in such a drastic manner, somebody that was hardened by war, and if God can change that heart, God can do anything with our hearts. I'm going to tell you, he used to say to us in tears, I remember him saying different times in tears, I wish I knew then what I know now. He said, I did not know how to love my wife. He said, I didn't know how to love my children. I wanted to, but I didn't know how. So if there's any places in our lives, be encouraged. Because if there's any place in your life that you have a desire, that I want to be better than that, if God done that for him, a war-hardened man, God can surely do it for us in our lives too. And this scripture here really captures a lot of this, because to look on it and say, you know, there's got to be more than this. I love the Lord, but I don't really get along with people real well. Consider your ways. Maybe possibly been married for years and don't really have the close relationship that you ought to have. Or could have, maybe the kind of relationship that you desire to have, consider your ways. What are you building first? You know, if I endeavor to build my own things first, I'll fail. I'll fail in the meaningful things. Oh, I may be able to build up myself, but I won't build up my relationship with my wife. I won't be what I should be to my children. Just like Brother Jim Luckton said, I wish I would have known how to do it. His children was basically raised and gone before the Lord ever saved him and taught him how to really be the father that he should be. I don't want to waste my time at that. I don't want to be a farmer that goes and sows and plants and never reaps anything by it. But today you and I have the opportunity to be able to consider our ways and what we're doing, to be able to get the ultimate out of it. The Scripture talks about a great salvation. It talks about if you neglect so great a salvation. This salvation that come is not, and so many people of the world, don't make the mistake in thinking, folks, that this plan of salvation was just simply God's plan to come and throw a blanket over you till he don't look and see the sinful activities over underneath it. That's what a lot of people feel like grace is. He'll throw the blanket of grace, the blood of Jesus over you. You can do anything you want in under the blanket and God don't see it. That's not salvation. That's not salvation at all today. Salvation, the grace of God is a divine enabling power that allows you and I to have victory over ourselves. The kind of natures that's in us that want our own way, to fight for our own way. That there's a grace of God that causes you and I to bear fruit in some of the hardest situations. God can help you and I to have grace enough to be able to bear that situation and bring out victory in it. It was proven. Jesus on the cross looked down and said, "Oh, Lord, help us to be that way. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That kind of grace and power went the next, just not too long after that, there was a man named Stephen that stood up and preached and told the people of their errors. They gnashed their teeth on him and began to stone him to death, but that same spirit was in him. That he said, "Lay not this to their charge." What grace the man had in his life. You know, that same grace is there not just for the big things, dying moments. It's there for living moments. That same grace is there to be enjoyed between husband and wife. If I look and just, Lord, help me to consider myself. Consider my life today. Consider how far I've come along on this thing. You've so much out there just doing a lot, trying to bring, but you don't bring in anything. I think it's also about the idea of a bag with holes in it. Several years ago, I preached a message to the young people up home. Had the youth roundup up there. And the message the Lord gave me was, or part of it was, that they had this little deal during the young people's gathering where they got these perforated pipes, drain pipes. And they put them up there, and they stood them on end, and they put a rubber duck down in the bottom of them. And then they had over the side, they had cups about that size. And what they was saying was, is how teamwork can get something done. By yourself, it's hard to get something done. But if you work in a team, you can get it done. So they split into team. They had four or five of these things set up. And the idea was that you all work together. And somebody was supposed to bring water over, or a couple of them in cups, and pour it in the top of that. And whoever got the duck to float out the top end of it won. It was a little competition, and they used to pour the water in, and as they poured the water in, the duck was supposed to float. But there was holes in the pipe. Well, they had to put their hands, different team would put their hands over the holes, and so they was all working together with fingers in the holes and all this, and he was running and putting the water and putting that and tried to float the duck. But I'm going to tell you my idea of it was, as I looked at it. It was so typical of of many people living for the Lord. They're just full of holes. Want to serve the Lord, but just full of their own selves. The places of what I want. That's what a hole is to me. This scripture says that they get wages, then they put it in a bag with holes in it. They never really get any value out of it. They lose it somewhere along the line. And you know, that's what happens in a lot of people's experience. If it don't work, folks, get it fixed. Consider your ways. Don't work for nothing. Accomplish something in this great plan of God. Learn how to be. Brother Jim used to say, anytime we would sing a song about gentleness or have a little thought about gentleness, Brother Jim, which seemed to be such a gentleman to me, would always say, Lord, help me to be more gentle. Because he had recognized that place in his life that he needed to be gentle and didn't have it, he longed for all that he could get. Lord, help me to be a gentle person. But these holes, I thought about it different times after that. Do you know that it would take a whole host of gospel workers and pastors and preachers to float people's ducks? It just wears workers out sometimes trying to get somebody's duck floated enough to come out the top. Because there's so many places that they're not willing to deal with. Oh, how many times somebody would come and say, Brother Marty, I need to talk to you about my marriage. And started talking, and me, no, wait a minute. We're not going to talk about the one that's not here. It don't do any good. Let's talk about you. You know how many people say, what about this? And I'll get to saying, okay, let me tell you something. Humble yourself. And they'll say, humble myself? What about him? And I'd say, he's not here. Oh, I've got a lot I could say to him if he was here. But if you want help, consider your ways. Yeah. Consider what your part of this is. Consider getting your hose plugged up. So you can hold something valuable in your life, that you can be someone that can hold the graces of God, that you can be somebody that can show love when you're not loved. You can be somebody that can be gentle though there's war raging. That you can be somebody that's long suffering when it don't look like it's possible. That you can be somebody that has the graces of God on hand to show out to others when it looks like you ought to flare up, then you got the graces. What are you going to do? Consider your ways. What part do you have in it? How do you assume to make your marriage better? By demanding that they straighten up? I'm going to tell you it won't work. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord said here in this scripture. You don't have it. You don't have it because you're putting yourself first. That's why you don't have it. But this is the way to do it. You put me first. The Lord, that way works in every aspect of our lives, folks. Everything that we do, if we'll put God first in it. Lord, Linda and I have prayed together many times, and our prayer is not... Lord, would you please help my wife to treat me better? Lord, would you help Linda to really get a hold of this thing till she'll be a real submissive wife to me? And her sitting over there saying, Lord, help him to love me like you love the church. Do you know that's not the way to do it? You know the best way is for when, and Linda and I prayed this way many times, Lord, help us to put you first. Lord, help us to put you as the center of our lives. Help us to grow closer to you as we grow closer to one another. Lord, help you and I, help us to center ourselves on your will and our lives as we then work it to our marriage and our life. Lord, and my prayer can continue on, and then I can say, Lord, help me to love her as you love the church. and allow her to pray, Lord, help me to submit myself to my husband. If we'll learn how to consider our ways and how to put God first in our life, this scripture said, the Lord said, if you'll build my house first, if you'll go to the mountain and you'll get these things and you'll come and build my house first, I'll take care of all of these other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. First, seek first God. Put God first. Lord, you are the love of my life first. All that I desire is to please you first. And when I get into that mindset, part of pleasing God is pleasing my wife. Part of the thing that I know Lord's charged me with her welfare. I personally can say this, that I believe the Lord personally, when the Lord gave me my wife, He gave me a charge and said, I want you to see her safely over there. I've taken that charge. Many times that's come back to me, and I said, Lord, I took that responsibility that I'm going to help my wife make it. I'm going to do everything to make her traveling as easy as it can. I've not always been totally successful, but it always comes back to me, this is your charge. That's part of what pleases the Lord, is for me to take on that responsibility as a husband. And you know what the pitiful thing about it is? It's there. If I don't take advantage of it, it's just a loss to me. Because salvation works. Salvation changes. Oh, so many people seem to say that it don't work. Well, this is the way I was born. You don't have to stay the way you was born. Well, this is my personality. Well, thank God for different personalities. But I'm going to tell you, if there's something cantankerous about your personality, God can change it. If there's something that's in a way of your nature, you say, I was raised this way, or my parents was this way, or my grandparents was this way. God's not hindered by parents and grandparents. The gospel is meant to work in our lives and make us gentle and kind and long-suffering and patient. It's meant to make us get along with one another. I'm going to tell you, folks, all congregations ought to look and consider their ways. Because God has a way of binding us together. If we would consider our ways and you look at the congregation, you know what? I had an uncle one time. He was married four times. He's still alive, so I have an uncle, I should say. I remember after about the fourth time, he said something about his marriage. And he said, boy, I tell you what, I can sure pick him, can I? I remember thinking, yeah. I'd have to say that about them. Four times? You know, you would think after four times that somebody would go, you know what? Maybe I have a problem. Maybe, just maybe, it's me. Maybe if this is not working, it's not the congregation's fault. Maybe if I'm having bad feelings, maybe it's not altogether what they said. If I don't have victory over what's going on around me, maybe it's not other people's fault. Maybe I need to consider whether I'm graced up or not. Maybe I ought to consider whether I'm getting the kind of victory and having the kind of fruit in my life I ought to have. Maybe I ought to quit saying to my wife, you need to be in subjection to me. Maybe I ought to start saying, I'm going to win her subjection. I'm going to love her until she can't stand it. Maybe I ought to start taking on me the responsibility of the life around me. You know how too often people blaming somebody else? The bottom line of it is, I don't believe when somebody says, oh, I got offended, I don't go to church anymore, I got offended. I don't believe that. I don't believe it works that way. It would be like, I've used this illustration many times, it'd be like you coming up and saying, Brother Marty, I don't like you. You're ugly and you're stupid, and I don't want to be around you, and me go divorce my wife because of it. Now, why would I break up with the Lord just because you don't like me? It don't make any sense, and it's not a truth. You couldn't run me away from the Lord. You couldn't. Because it's a relationship that I have with the Lord. I shouldn't be able to say, no one should be able to say anything that would offend you away from the Lord. They may upset you, we're human, words may hurt, but you know what I do? I don't run from the Lord, I run to Him. Yes, He's not the one that does it. Consider your ways. Does the things that happen around you cause you to have a deeper relationship with the Lord? It should. It should. When hard times come, it shouldn't be the automatic thing. Brother Sammons used to say it quite often up home. He says, why is it when trouble comes, people quit coming to church? That's the time you ought to really go. Get serious about it. When things come, we ought to go more to the Lord. Consider your ways. This thing is designed to bring fruit in your life. Consider your ways. You want more fruit? Oh, One time I was praying, Lord, I want to be more like you. I'm going to tell you, when you start praying that, you better start thinking about what you're praying for. If you really mean it, the Lord will help you. I was praying, Lord, I want to be more like you. Well, I tell you what, it wasn't long till I had a little thing happen there at the house, and it seemed so unjust. The neighbor man across the street come over and just let me have it good, and all I'd ever done... His grandmother was over there, and any time she said, Marty, would you help me do this? I mean, I'd jump up out of my easy chair to go. I never failed to jump up, and if she needed something done, I'd go help her. And then he gets upset at me and comes over and just, boy, lets me real have an eye. I was kind of had this sense, oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. That ain't right for somebody to treat me that way. And all this, and I had these feelings. And I just felt like the Lord impressed me so much and said, you wanted to be more like me. And all of a sudden, I was telling the Lord, I said, all I wanted to do was good. I helped them every time I could. All I had in mind was good. And then they rejected me like that and do that. And the Lord said, that's what they did to me. I wanted to be more like the Lord. And the Lord gave me the opportunity to be more like He was. He allowed me to experience what it was like to just really have a desire to help people and then reject you and make you out as being bad. That's what they did to the Lord. Yes. Consider your ways in these things. And then I had to say, thank you, Lord. I understand more about what you really done for me in this whole thing. And I am better off because I understand that. And I determined from that point that that guy's going to be a friend of mine if at all possible. Now, what he done was wrong, and I still say it was wrong to do somebody that way. But I have a friend across the street now because I aimed to have a friend. I had a friend, and the fruit started coming out of it, and I didn't know what was in this man's life. But when my family was all over there, we was painting the house, and the girls was painting. We was all having fun one day, and he comes over to the house, and he said, he wanted to do something to help, and I found that a little strange, somebody that had acted that way, but he comes over and wants to, he said, now if you need the ladders, you need to move those ladders, and I'll help you, just holler and I'll help you move the ladders, and you need paint brushes, and I got an extension roller, and you can use that, and all this, he's trying to really help, and I said, yeah, and all this stuff, standing there talking to him, and he said, I was noticing your family. He said, that's the way a family ought to be. You know, all of a sudden got to talk to him and realized that his family was broken and he had a son that he hadn't seen in a long time and all that. And he's standing there with tears starting up in his eyes saying, that's the way a family ought to be right there. You know, I could have shunned the man and said, I don't know more to do with him. But consider your ways today. There's things higher than that. There's a higher way of that. There's one of grace and of love that wins. It's a winning way. It's a winning way. Why not incorporate that into the ones I love the most? My family, my children, the ones that are around me, the congregation. Lord, help us to be able to do it, to really be able to consider our ways. Salvation works. It works. Brother Jim allowed salvation to work in his life. And it changed him. And folks, if salvation's not changing you, and I'm not being hard about this, but I'll give you some advice. Throw whatever you got away and get something that works. Because salvation works. Salvation is something that works in our lives and it will change. I want to look at another scripture, very familiar scripture. We'll look at two of them. One of them is in 1st or 2nd Corinthians. Second Corinthians 5. It says, therefore, in the 17th verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is what tells the story. This is what really tells the story. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It does something. It's dynamic. It's alive. It does something. It brings the very Spirit of Christ out. It brings out the willingness to suffer. It brings out the humility of Christ. A new creature is formed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Thank God. Thank God that the old things are passed away. That we don't have to be in bondage to the old things. Behold, all things become new. Consider your ways today. To be able to bring forth fruit for God. Am I bringing forth fruit? Is it working? Or in a sports analogy, am I winning? Am I racking up some victories? Am I really gaining some ground here? Am I getting some victories over some of these things? And to most of the people in the world, victory is, I remember a preacher up home. We worked in the coal mines. This guy worked in the coal mines. And went into the coal mines one day and said, well, Chuck, how you doing? Oh, I said, doing pretty good, but I'm having some trouble. Oh, I said, really? Yep. Some of the men's been picking at me. And he had a lead pipe about that long. And he showed that lead pipe and he said, but I pray God give me the strength of Samson, because if they start today, I'm going to crack their heads. Well, that's one victory. That's the way to have victory. If you could go in there and crack everybody's head with that pipe, you could come out and say, God give me the strength of Samson, I worked them over. But I'm going to tell you, there's a victory, folks, that has to do in here. There is an overcoming victory in here. Behold, all things become new. I'll be honest with you, I could have cracked your head with a lead pipe before I was ever saved. That don't have nothing to do with this. There's a victory over the passions and emotions and the angers and the hostilities that we can have in the flesh. There's a victory over that kind of thing. Lord, help us to have the victory. Greater is he that ruleth his own spirit than he that taketh a city. It's a greater thing. Alexander the Great conquered the known world, but he couldn't conquer himself. In a fit of anger, he killed his best friend. It's a very historical note about Alexander the Great. He killed his closest friend in a fit of anger. He conquered the world, but he couldn't conquer himself. Salvation did not come so that the Jews could take over the Romans. They thought it was. They thought that when the Messiah came, that he was going to restore Israel to the power and self-determination. He didn't do it. But he did bring a self-determination. But the self-determination was the ability to rule themselves from the inside. To have victory, to love when they hated, to have kindness when all around them was evil. There was something that was overpowering by it. Behold, all things become new. And that's our battle. Consider today your ways. And I don't know, everybody that's here don't know what your situation is, but I'd be willing to say that everyone in here can use this to say, Lord, help me consider whether I'm bringing the fruit in and I've gotten the victory that I ought to have. One last scripture, Galatians 6 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I like this part. Against such, there is no law. Do you know that there is no law against how much you can love somebody? You just love them all you can. There is no law against having patience. You just get all the patience that you can get, and then you can get some more. There is no law against it. To be able to experience God, there is no law. You just get close to God as you want to get. The Bible talks about moderation in all things and all that, but it leaves an exception. That's in the fruit of the Spirit. You can have all that you want to do. You can have all the kindness that you want to have, all the gentleness, all the meekness. Consider our ways today. Are we really taking advantage of the great plan of salvation, that great salvation? Are we really taking advantage of it? Because I'm going to tell you, if we'll yield ourselves to it and yield ourselves to God, God is able to make us more than conquerors in all these battles that we face. If you want to experience the rich things of life, you just dive into this. You just turn yourself loose on there and see if it isn't the richest life you'll ever experience. You'll find out that there's things about you that the Lord... I believe it's true too. I've heard people say, Lord, don't show us ourselves all at once because we couldn't take it. You know what? I believe that's true. I wonder if the Lord would just come down and tell us who we was if we'd even see it and believe it. But the Lord is able to work with our lives and change those things about us. I remember my sister saying one time, she called me up and she said, "Marty, the Lord has done a miracle." And I don't know, what do you think about that? What would you think? What is the greatest miracle? Was it the Red Sea splitting? Now, according to the Scriptures, the greatest physical miracle in the Bible was when Joshua was in the day the sun stood still. Now, it says that in the Scripture, that there was never a day that God so heeded the voice of a man as what He did Joshua when the sun stood still. Do you imagine what that constitutes? If He makes the sea go down, He's taking care of a little storm in the sea. But God ordered the universe because of Joshua. It altered it. I mean, God caused it to stand still. But there was a greater miracle in my sister's mind. She said, "The Lord changed me. The greatest miracle. I was a certain way and all that way and been praying about it, and the circumstance come up that I would have responded in a certain way, and I didn't. I didn't." And she said, "It's the greatest of miracles. I'm no longer that way. Thank God." Jealousies and envies and covetousness and all of those things and prides and all those wickedness. And folks, even things that you and I don't know there that responds that we don't even know's there. God can work them out and fix them. Thank God for that great miracle that I can say, I'm not like. And there was another scripture, I think that was in Galatians, that said that circumcision availeth nothing, uncircumcision availeth nothing, but what availeth? A new creature. This thing don't matter. It's not this. We don't witness that whether God's been there and worked or whether salvation's worked by these exterior things, but it's a new creature. That's what points to what the Lord's doing when He changes us and makes us and puts us into His own image. I thank the Lord today for this great salvation that changes us and gives us the peace that we can live life with. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.